This is Joel Rheinberger,
live and on location
on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania.
We are in Bothwell, where the bicentenary celebrations are going on as we speak. There's a sheep sound effect there, but in fact, I have been told that there is a bullock team and 400 sheep about to be droved through the town right in front of us. The town crier, Daryl Peebles, is looking out at that for us, and he'll come over and give us a blow-by-blow commentary of 400 sheep going by. I'm sure we'll be able to hear that. If you live in Bothwell, you likely know Robert Cassidy because he's on the Central Highlands Council. But if you've done much flying in your life, you may have heard him say something like this.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking at about a 4.5-hour flight time today. Got clear skies, good visibility. The temperature in Atlanta is 64 degrees. The flight's going to be a little longer than we've expected. We've got some very strong headwinds. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Robert Cassidy started flying Iroquois helicopters for the U.S. Army, ended his career crossing oceans with passengers like you and me in 747s. Being a travelling man, he could have really retired anywhere in the world, but he chose Bothwell. Robert, g'day, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. What brought you to Bothwell of every place in the world you could have gone to?
Well, affordability, that's a possibility. Could be the first possibility. But Peter Dombrovskis, you probably know.
Yeah, the photographer.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm a keen photographer, passionate, probably been taking photos longer than I've been a pilot. So that was one reason that brought me to the Central Highlands. Also, there's two Irish convicts, very famous, from the Young Irelanders. And yesterday, in the town hall, we had the Young Irelander concert. And boy, the singer, she had a hauntingly beautiful voice. So I would say it was a combination of things that brought me here.
What do you love about living here right now as someone who's, you know, retired? What do you love about it here?
Well, the weather. Not really. No, we could.
You are wearing the classic pilot jacket, I might say, the leather jacket with the furry collar.
True enough. We could have used a little bit of the rain that they received up the northern part down here in Bothwell. It's been pretty dry.
Now, what made you want to be a pilot in the first place? And now, by the way, we're talking about this because you've written a book about your life. Now, what's the book called?
Yes, sir. It's called Dancing with Clouds. That's the title. And the subtitle is Never Take No for an Answer. And I surely didn't.
So when did you first have an inkling that you wanted to fly?
Well, when I was a young boy, probably about 8 or 10 years of age, my dad mom took me to an air show. And I think I was first bitten by the bug then. But then for my birthday, they bought a book titled The Flying Tigers by John Toland. And it was about the American volunteer group of 100 pilots from all branches of service who fought against the Japanese Imperial Army in China. And I fell in love with that story and wanting to fly in China, and I did. I spent 5 years flying in China. It took 43 years to realize my dream, though.
Now, you started in the Army.
Yes, sir.
So why choosing the Army as a way to become a pilot?
Boy, many people have asked me that question. Why the Army? I should have been in the Air Force. You know, here in Australia, it's a lucky country. At one time, they offered free education, university education, then HECS debt and so forth. But I went to 2 years of university, University of Nevada, and I studied engineering. Actually designed a rocket during my first 2 years. I tried to turn the mechanical engineering course into an aeronautical engineering course.
So you are literally a rocket scientist.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. But anyway,
got partway through university.
You know, Vietnam was on at the time, you know, and I joined the Army December of 74. I wanted to go to Vietnam, you know, flying helicopters and so forth, but I ended up in Germany, assigned to the wrong unit as an Army medic. And they discovered I was there quite by accident and transferred me out. My first completed application for Army flight training was discarded. They just simply threw it in the trash can. And after I got transferred, I reapplied and got accepted.
Now, helicopters, they're a weird thing to fly, aren't they? It's you know, I think most people understand a basic plane joystick, but a helicopter has got a whole other thing going on, doesn't it?
Well, everything is working at once. We pilots say that you know, you keep your head on a swivel, but not only is your head and neck working and your eyeballs, but, you know, your hands and your feet, your arms, everything's working at the same time in a coordinated fashion. But I could teach you how to fly a helicopter probably in a summer.
So how long did it take for you to before it became natural, before you could just do it without thinking about it?
Oh, wow. I'm still thinking about it. No, I don't know. It varies for every person, and I can't recall quite now. I mean, I spent 36 years flying, and we just go through a process. It took 44 weeks of flight training in the Army. And before we were checked out to fly the Iroquois or whatever our track was.
So where did you have to fly helicopters for the Army?
Well, I was stationed at Fort Ord, California, which is now closed. I think it closed in 1994. And if I think Jimi Hendrix, you know Jimi Hendrix?
Oh, yeah.
He graduated from Fort Ord, I think. Clint Eastwood, some very famous people, including myself.
What was the trickiest bit of flying you had to do while in the Army?
Well, I would say flying at night, low level, and using minimum illumination. We have our navigation lights, the red light, green light, and white light in the tail on dim. And we did that without night vision goggles.
Ooh.
Just unaided. We call that unaided.
And flying in what sort of country?
Well, I would say a hilly country, surrounded by mountains and so forth. I was in training areas in California, for example.
What was it like swapping over then to civilian aircraft and to planes rather than helicopters?
It's all a matter of transition. What I found when I was in the Army, it's very stilted, very structured. Now, everything is by regulation, so as it is in the civilian flying, but as a civilian pilot, when I got out, I sort of found my students, they knew more about certain aspects than I did, because civilian flying is a bit more ad hoc, you know, it's not as well structured, unless, of course, you get to the airlines or some certain aspects of aviation.
Mm. I guess in the Army, every time you fly, there's a purpose to that flight. You're going to a place for a reason, and you know exactly why and when.
Yeah, generally speaking, yes. Yes, if it's not classified.
So how many different types of aircraft have you now flown?
I think I've flown approximately 130, about 12
wow.
of them helicopters, and I've flown three different versions of the 747 as a captain, the new 747-400 with the winglets, 747-300, 200, and two different versions of 737 new generation aircraft, the 800 and 700, like Qantas and Virgin Fly.
Wow. How technical is a cockpit now that you walk into compared to the ones that you first learned in?
There's been a lot of changes in aviation in the 36 years that I've flown. We refer to the old instrumentation as steam gauges by comparison to new generation aircraft that have pilot flight displays and navigation displays and so forth.
I think, is it a flight bag, they call it?
Well, yes, it's called a flight bag, nav bag, brain bag. A lot of terminology for it.
What is the most fun aircraft that you've ever flown?
Wow. I would say the Huey. I really enjoyed flying the Bell Iroquois, and every time I hear one fly overhead, I just cannot help you know, looking up and my heart quickens. You know, I miss the aircraft a lot.
What makes it fun to fly?
It's the DC-3 of helicopters. It'll be around forever, and it was
bulletproof, reliable.
Yes, very, yes. Well, I wouldn't say bulletproof.
No, no.
But, you know, very, very reliable, and we could do anything with it. I'd flown it up as high as 10,000 feet for an unpressurized aircraft, and I would have parachutists, special forces types, jump out and so forth, or fly down low level close to the ground, you know, through the mountains and trees.
What's the fastest you've ever been?
Oh, Mach 8.4, which is, I don't know, it depends on the tailwind. If you could be 600-700 miles per hour.
Wow.
Or knots, rather, yeah.
Wow.
Roughly.
What sort of aircraft do you do that in?
747s, and Also, 737s, I've had some pretty darn good speed flying in them. But it's usually at a high altitude with a good strong tailwind.
And you hardly even notice it, do you?
Oh, you wouldn't notice it, no. The only thing that you hear is the air molecules impacting the cockpit.
Now, do you still fly now? Do you still get to fly now?
In my dreams. I'll be 68 this month, and sadly, it seems that nobody's interested in somebody of my age, regardless of experience.
What about personally? Like, you know, would you own a light aircraft and fly that around?
I would, but it's not very practical nor affordable under the Civil Aviation Safety Authority. And they make it very, very complex, overregulated.
What are you going to be doing today, Robert Cassidy, to celebrate the bicentenary of the town of which you are a council member?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. I'm here basically to talk about my career. I don't want to get in any conflict of interest.
But no, what's fun? What's going to be good today?
Well, I'm going to go and take a look at the Grote Reber exhibition. I have to say that I worked my first term trying to establish a memorial for Grote Reber, who lived here 40 years. Yesterday, I saw the Young Islanders concert, and it was just absolutely excellent. I'm glad I didn't miss it.
Robert Cassidy, lovely to talk to you today. Thank you for being with us.
God bless you. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Robert is a council member, but also an ex-pilot and author of Dancing with Clouds. If you'd like to have a look and a read about his life story, get yourself a copy of that. I hope that's in the library. Have you given a copy to the library? Yes, he has. Hang on. Here we go. Say it again.
Yes, I have, and it's also at Fuller's.
Okay, there you go. You can get a copy of that one. We'll allow the little plug. That is fine. You're listening to ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. My name is Joel Reinberger. We are broadcasting from the centre of town here in Bothwell. There is music playing. There is quite a gathering down at the intersection down there. I don't have to tell you which one because